Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is sponsored by Arcane, a Netflix original series from the creators of League of Legends. Dive into League of Legends and uncover the origin of some of your favorite champions with the animated event of the year. Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix. And by Canva Pro. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/instance. Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 655. It is Friday, November 12th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Jocelyn Kearney. It's just two of us today. Woo!
Woohoo!
Yeah. Garrett's on a little trip, having some fun, celebrating his anniversary. Happy anniversary to him and Katie. We should see them next week, but we're back. How was your week? Doing all right?
Yeah, it was a good week. We had our Extra Life game day was this past Saturday, and we did really, really well. So thanks, everybody, for showing up and watching and sharing the stream and stuff. I think we raised over $3,500 as a team, and I'm almost at my $2,500 goal now. So, it's just we've been flying this year, and it's been so much fun. And I really appreciate the support because I've been feeling not so hot. Mm-hmm. and so I did the whole stream without a camera, which, like, as a Twitch streamer, that's like kiss of death for viewership. But you sure. guys were there anyway, and that was awesome. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah, I stopped by as well. I really enjoyed when I showed up, you guys were like fighting tech issues or something.
Oh my God, we had so many tech issues all day. It was brutal.
Yeah,
it's like the first time I've tried to stream games since I switched to just a one PC setup. So I had all of my settings as I did with my two PC setup, and my computer was like, no.
That stuff's always a big pain in the ass, but it looked like you guys were having fun. It was always fun to check in and saw a little bit of you guys playing Dead by Daylight, which is always fun to watch.
Yep.
So
we had a really good time. Ryan is actually completely hooked on DBD now because this is the first year we've played where I haven't played on my main account. I smurfed. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Did you just destroy everybody and wreck the MMR or whatever?
Like it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad, but it was definitely much, much easier than what I'm used to. But normally I drag Ryan up to, you know, top ranks with me and he just gets destroyed. Yeah. So this time he was like, oh, low level stuff. This is more fun.
Yeah.
I'm not dead in the first 2 minutes.
It's not so bad, I guess. Well done. It was super fun to listen to, and I hope others got a chance to do it. And congrats on the number. That's really cool.
We got some more stuff coming up in November and December as well. So we're not done yet. But we had a really good main game day.
Nice. All for the kids, man. For the kids. I did want to say a quick thank you to everybody out there who hopped on board of our new Patreon this week. The Instance Patreon doing well so far. Super stoked about it. I want to welcome to the show Julie Cool, who joined in at our rare level. Phil Fisk at our Warforged level and Deke Wheeler at the common level. You guys are all awesome. And everyone else who jumped on board this week, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping make our Patreon successful in its first week. We really appreciate it. For those who are like, oh, I want to get in on that, get some of those cool benefits and rewards, head on over to patreon.com/instance today. All right, our big topic today. Where are we with video game, TV, and movie adaptations in 2021? Now, I will admit, part of the reason this came up isn't because we're all sitting around going, oh, I can't wait for the latest, greatest thing in video game, movie, or television. It came up because that Uncharted trailer is garbage. That's why it came up. Or at least it seems to be. I mean, who knows? That thing may turn out to be just fine and true to the game and totally blow our minds, and who knows? Like, I don't want to judge anything before I actually see it, but the trailer was a little worrisome. But we are kind of entering a new era/phase of I think, quality when it comes to video game translations to film or television. And in particular, we're gonna play some clips today from some of these things. We'll talk about some of the sort of middling successes to, you know, things that are considered quite well done. We'll talk about the stuff that really failed hard, what's on the horizon, and maybe what we want out of our favorite medium converting itself to television and movies. And I seem to, when I talk about this and when I was writing this up, I emphasize the idea of television more than film, because I'm of the opinion that's where this stuff is going to thrive more than just one-off two-hour movies. I think if you're going to, for example, take something like Halo and make some quality entertainment based on it that is outside the video game, you're going to have a way better chance of hitting your marks if it's a serialized television show, preferably with multiple seasons, something on a streaming network that's known for this sort of thing, versus trying to hammer it out in an hour and a half to 2 hours and make it fit everybody's vision of what Halo should be. I just don't think a movie is enough. So I'll probably harp on that a lot. I apologize in advance. But let's start with Arcane. Have you seen any of Arcane at all yet?
Yes, I did. Okay. So I watched the first three episodes, which I think is all that's available right now. It sounds like it's a 9-episode season with like 3 episodes being released at a time. And each of those 3 episode like chunks is a story arc. Yeah. So they all tie together, but they're also in a way kind of self-contained.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think I've seen, so you're ahead of me. I've only seen the first episode completely and the start of the second, and then got busy.
Okay, I won't spoil anything then.
And we'll keep, by the way, everybody, we'll keep try to keep spoilers out of all of this, but you know, if we mention something, we apologize in advance. But so this is the show Riot put together with Netflix and, you know, production companies and all the stuff you do to make a thing like this. It's based on League of Legends, these characters, this world, all League of Legends origin stuff. I am very unfamiliar with lore behind League of Legends. In my mind, League of Legends, Dota 2, and every other MOBA out there is basically just a version of the Warcraft 3 mod that started all the MOBA craze to start with. So in my head, there's not that much depth there. But as it turns out, at least if I'm measuring it by this show, there's a whole hell of a lot of depth there. And maybe it's just in the show and not in the game, but I was blown away by this. I don't even play the game. I don't have any particular allegiance to it, but I think Arcane is rad, like really cool. It looks cool. I think the world building's really cool. We talked about this at length on Core yesterday, but I'll try not to repeat myself too much. But there's a combination of style and voice work, sound, and just these visuals. And even the story, which, you know, the story's not going to win Oscars, but all of it is working together in such a way that this might be my favorite adapted video game thing of all time, and I don't play the game it's based on. And that really surprised me. What did you think after 3 episodes?
I had a lot of the same thoughts, because I came to it with maybe even less. Like, I think I've played League of Legends for maybe an hour, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Like, it is not a game that's on my radar. I don't pay attention to it at all. I don't know any lore. And so I was same as you, Scott, very kind of surprised at the depth of the characters and the world and like how well thought out it seemed to be. And also how kind of dark it is. Mm-hmm. Like, and again, without spoilers or anything, it goes some places that I did not expect. Like, it's got, maybe because it's animated, I kind of thought like, you know, it's animated. It's a, you know, not necessarily kids show, because there's plenty of animation out there now that are not for kids. Yeah. But it just, like, I had this like feeling or idea in my head where I was like, oh, you know, whatever, like it's going to be all like happy, fluffy. Oh my God, they did what?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, and yeah, there's not a lot of happy, fluffy.
And they're not afraid to cuss once in a while. They're not afraid to get a little bit adult. They're not like hardcore adult. Like, I would call this something like I'd call it PG-13, I guess, or something.
Well, yeah, I think it's rated like 14A, which is like about PG, maybe one step up from PG-13. Yeah. I think our ratings in Canada are different than yours in the States.
Yeah, you guys have, and then they get the whole Peggy business. Oh, no, that's for video games over in Europe. Anyway, the point is, like, it has an edge to it that I think is definitely in its favor. And it doesn't come off as just, oh, here's a kiddie take on, you know, on this thing. So I think if anyone was worried about that, they shouldn't be. You know, I don't know. The intent of this sort of thing is hard to suss out, right? Nobody's actually saying, well, we made this show so that people will play our game. One would think that that's a side effect of the possibility of having a hit show. Maybe some who've never checked out League of Legends will now do it. There's certainly links in places that say, get more arcane and check out leagueoflegends.com today and that sort of thing. So certainly there's some benefit there. But I don't know if that's the full point of this. I think the point of this might actually be, after seeing this anyway, I think the point of it might be, hey, this is really good on its own. And here's its own thing. And it can be successful on its own and live in this, you know, this TV space all by itself. It doesn't need to have so much connected to the game. In fact, the name Arcane has little to do with the name League of Legends, and the name League of Legends is barely eligible on the logo, like down at the very bottom. They don't seem to be going too hardcore into, like, you know, this isn't Transformers or He-Man trying to sell toys. It feels more, this feels like legitimate, like, entertainment from a bunch of passionate artists, writers, and creators. And I didn't expect it. I expected, I don't know what I expected, honestly. I kind of just thought I was not going to be interested. And instead, I'm kind of blown away by what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in the TV show. It did not make me want to play League of Legends at all, though. No. Like, yeah, you're right about there not being a whole lot of, not that there isn't tie-in, because obviously there's a ton of tie-in. I went and actually, like, looked it up, at, like, on the League of Legends, like, wiki, and I was just like, oh man, okay, so, you know, oh, that's a character, and that's a character, and that's a character, and I was like, oh, I had no idea that there were, you know, like, all of these different characters being shown. It's basically like an origin story for, like, five or six of the, I guess, they're champions,
maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they call them that. In League of Legends. So it was kind of this really interesting way to get into the universe, but it didn't make me want to, like, play the game at all. I was just like, I just want to see more of this super cool universe in this TV show. Like, because again, like, when you play the game, like, you're playing a MOBA. Like, there's no, like, lore in the game, as far as I know, right? Like, there's no, like, single player story content. It's like, well, I imagine very similar to Dead by Daylight, where it's like, if you want to, you can read the big, huge blurb that comes with every single one of them that tells their backstory. But, I would argue,
or
do you just go, which one's meta and which one's good?
Yeah, I would argue there's more story in their card game spinoff. Why can't I think of the name?
Runeterra.
Yes, that's the one. There's more story in there about that place, that lore, that setting than the game it's based on, League of Legends. And so... I don't feel driven to do that either. So I just think that's an interesting aspect of this, because, I guess it's always been true. If you make a book based on, or a movie based on a comic book, part of the, I don't know, side effect of that is that some people might pick up the comics, right? Cause they hadn't heard of them before. It's like, oh, who's this? I don't know who's a good example here. Guardians of the Galaxy, good example. Cause Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody even really heard of, you know, if you're a hardcore comics fan, you have, but, you know, it's a weird thing of the 70s. It wasn't really, you know, not popular in a modern way. The movie flips that on its lid, and like a lot of the MCU does, with a lot of secondary characters. And now suddenly everyone's interested, and there's some great new runs of Guardians that you can read and pick up. So I'm sure there are people who do that. There are probably people who will play League now because they had discovered this Arcane thing. I'm sure, you know, mileage may vary. But that's an interesting aspect to this. Given that these are two very different kinds of entertainment. One is this purely consumable thing, and the other one is this interactive thing. And I feel like we're just now getting to a place where it's possible that those two things can equal each other in quality, benefit from each other's quality, not just be garbage. Like, video game movies are known to be, for the most part, on the whole, garbage. They're bad. Right. And then, well, something like this comes along.
Critics think that they're bad.
Right.
Because I think that that's kind of the difference. And I think that was also true of a lot of early comic book stuff, too. Right. Is critics freaking hated them, like, they were terrible. But fans usually got a lot out of them. And sometimes they weren't the greatest. But I mean, no video game movie up until now is going to win an Oscar.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So, I want to play just a touch of Arcane. This is just snagged out of the trailer, but give you an idea what you're looking for in that show. Here you go.
When I was a kid, me and my sister, we played a game where we pretended to chase monsters away. I'd say, no monster's gonna get you when I'm here. Then a real monster showed up. I have to find her.
Very intense business there. Gotta find that sister, yo. That's the character Vi, played by Hailee Steinfeld, who is great in everything lately. I don't know if you remember her in True Grit, but she was amazing in True Grit. The Coen Brothers remake of True Grit. Oh my gosh, she's so good. She was very young then, but she now, you know, she's got her music career and her acting. She's the new Hawkeye in that Hawkeye thing. I'm trying to think of her name in that because I always forget. Kate Bishop, that's the character. She basically takes over. Well, the assumption is in that series she'll end up taking the reins because that's what happened in the comics. But she's great. She's in that Dickinson show. Bumblebee was decent because she was in it. I think she's really talented. But anyway, that tone you hear there, just kind of the sound of that thing, that's the show. Like it feels like that kind of throughout. Another good one on Netflix that I quite like is Castlevania. I think that show is really cool. Here's a taste of that.
Do you think you can? If you're really a Belmont and not some runt running around with a family crest, you might be able to. Let's find out.
Belmont, you can't do this!
Tell it your floating vampire Jesus here. You've got nothing but incels, have you? A tired little...
They're always kicking each other's ass. All right, that show is also great. Again, great cast. I forgot the guy's name. The guy that played Baltar on Battlestar Galactica plays Alucard in that. If you're a fan at all of the Castlevania games, it's a good fit. If you've never seen Castlevania or played it, it's still good. It's a little more traditional anime, you know, cell animated and, you know, feels like an anime. But it's very good. That thing's, I think, two seasons, whatever.
I think it's three.
So here's the question, and we have more to say about more kinds of these presentations, but I feel like I'm leaning toward animated more than I am live action these days. I think there's just a better opportunity there to show these worlds, these characters, what they do in those worlds in a way that, I don't know, feels more natural to their source material than a live action recreation. Not in every case, but in a lot of cases. Do you think I'm onto something with that? Like, do you think the best video game stuff is going to look like Arcane, or is it going to look like, you know, Castlevania, or are we still, do we have a stomach for people dressed up like Nathan Drake trying to look like him? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like animation has an edge here, or a lead.
Well, the thing is, I think it's closer to the source material, right? And it also removes you from cheesy special effects that don't quite work, right? Like, the Warcraft movie, I think, was okay from a special effects standpoint. Nothing looked too crazy, but at the same time, if that was just animated, it probably would have been 1,000 times better. Mm-hmm. I think especially if you're looking at games like less so the Uncharted series, but like anything that has a magical element where, you know, anything can, you know, do any shape changing or, you know, has crazy spell effects, all that kind of stuff. You can try to do that with like practical effects, but sometimes, man, it just ends up looking goofy.
Yeah.
So I think the animation is safer in that way because you can capture things and do things in a way, regardless of the style you choose for your animation, you can just do so much more with it without having to worry about, you know, a special effects budget and, you know, where can we spend it? Where do we have to, you know, maybe, I don't want to say cheap out, but you know what I mean? Like, where do we have room for, you know, doing something super cool? And where do we have to maybe like either avoid something entirely or not do as amazing a job of it? So I think that there's that live action versus animation thing when it comes to video games. We're also used to seeing stuff that's not quite as realistic, right? So it just, again, I think animation just lends it or like bridges the gap a little better. And you don't have to worry about any uncanny valley stuff either. Cause sometimes, man, there's just like, there's some faces on those orcs that are just like, oh man,
yeah.
Nope.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like this Arcane, to go back to Arcane, is very stylized. Like, from the get-go and throughout, there's never a moment of, like, we're aiming for some ultra-realistic anything. And I think it's to its benefit that they stick with that stylization. And it's got a weird painterly look, but three-dimensional animation, but everything looks painted. It's really actually kind of hard to describe how that show looks. And I'm not saying everything needs to look like that moving forward, certainly not, but it's clear to me that was the intent, was to stylize that world, and I don't think it would work in a live action setting, or not as well.
No.
They would struggle with that. And maybe with the right minds involved, you know, you can do a lot with really amazing vision in live action. You know, elephant in the room, Warcraft had, you know, all the potential in the world, certainly IP wise. I just can't help but feel like, had that, imagine Warcraft as a series and imagine it stylized like Arcane, you're having a very different opinion of Warcraft at this point, you know? Like, I feel like that would have not saved it, but I made a big stink about this on Core last night. John will remember, he's in the chat room right now, but I kind of went off on this. I'm still annoyed that Blizzard, for so many years, and look, the streaming world isn't the same as it was, you know, isn't the same 6 years ago as it is today. So when Warcraft was being pushed to theaters, it's just a different time. And maybe if it was today, they'd have made a different decision. But it bugs me that the creator of most of these IPs that this stuff is based on, including this Arcane / League of Legends stuff, has all got its roots back to Blizzard. That Blizzard isn't the one in the forefront of this, that they're not the ones with a Diablo show, with a StarCraft II show, with a Warcraft show, or movies, or more of it, or something. And the fact that others are doing it without them, the likes of Konami and Capcom and other game companies who, you know, have way less of a right to make cool animated stuff. Like, Alexa, shut up. I don't know why she's talking. I didn't say her name. Gosh dang it, she's stupid sometimes. Smart speaker. Give me a break. Anyway. John made a really good point yesterday saying that, what was it, John? I just forgot it because my stupid echo acted up. But he basically said, I can't remember. It was good.
That seems like an odd point to make.
It was so good, but I can't remember. All right, well, forget it. Oh, it's the timing thing, right. So had they been able to do it now, they should have. But I would argue that they did have the wherewithal, the knowledge of where things were headed, the money, the resources, and the talent to take Overwatch directly into this space. Those short films they made for Overwatch, every time they'd introduce a new character, or even in the early days when they just first showing it off, were exactly in this vein. 100% built to be a successful, quality, cool series. They could have done it. I don't know why they never did it. That stuff just petered out and they stopped. And it annoys me to no end that they didn't do it, because I just think it was theirs to have. And now we're talking about Arcane. Now we're talking about Castlevania. We're talking about other stuff, and they're not there at all. You know, there was rumors of a Diablo show, a Diablo anime that was in the works. We haven't heard jack about that since 2018. So it just kind of bums me out that they're not at the forefront of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
No, I agree.
Forget about all their issues right now. Like, none of that, you know, I'm trying to keep that separate. Just purely from a who owns the IPs, who has the money, who can get this done. If there was ever anybody that could, it's Blizzard. I mean, hell, we'll see that Call of Duty show before we see this other stuff. And I don't want that.
Well, I mean, the thing about a Call of Duty show is just that, like, it's based on stuff we've already seen. Like, there's a gajillion military things, right? Like, it would be really cool to see something in the Overwatch world or the Diablo world or StarCraft. StarCraft has great story and universe building. I would love to watch a StarCraft TV show. And I don't like sci-fi that much. Like, I'm much more of a fantasy person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, it would just, I feel like it has the potential to do so well.
Yeah.
And the parent company is choosing to go with war stuff. Like, there's a gajillion war things if you're into war things.
Yeah. You want to watch guys shoot each other with guns? Boy, have I got good news for you. Those exist in perpetuity. There's other examples of success out there. Certainly the Mortal Kombat series was at least the first movie, and this most recent one did okay.
I loved the new one.
I did too. I liked it.
It was so stupid fun.
Yeah. I had a good time with it. I feel like that was in the spirit of the first one, in that it was just a good time. It's like, here's this game. We're going to be super overt about it. And there's going to be lots of references that the game play, you know, people who played the game are going to immediately call out and go, oh, he said, get over here. That's Scorpion. Hey, man. Like that, those movies are pretty good at that. The second movie, don't even, let's pretend it doesn't exist. Annihilation is an abomination. It's a horrendous movie and should never be seen by anyone ever, ever. It's bad, really bad. But the cartoons are good. The animation stuff's good. The most recent Warner Brothers one called, I can't remember the name. I watched it and really liked it. It was violent as hell and rad. Anyway, so those are okay. They seem like they kind of got their head on there. Then there's this weird films. There was a whole bunch of them, based on Resident Evil, the Resident Evil series. They had almost nothing to do with the game that they were based on. One or two characters would pop up, but for the most part, that game was not about Resident Evil as we know it. It was its own thing, and they're rebooting it. And I'd like to share with you now a clip from the new Resident Evil trailer. Okay. Because that seems like they're actually going to go for it here. Anyway, here it is.
Every story has a beginning. Discover the origin of evil.
Why are you back here, Claire? Your conspiracies weren't true when we were kids. They're not true now.
We need to expose Umbrella. Watch this.
I'm afraid, Claire. I'm afraid of what they're going to do to this town.
All right. So get your RE shoes on, Jocelyn. The time is now. It's back to basics. Claire Redfield's in there. I don't know if Jill's in this or Barry, but they're in that mansion. They got the whole thing's looking real, real old school. Like they're actually going to try to attempt to make that story.
And yeah, I think they smooshed the first and second games together, I think.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Okay. Well, explains why
I think so.
Claire's and well, wait, Claire didn't show up till when did Claire show up? I forget. Was that 3? So maybe all 3 are getting all mushed. I don't know. But anyway, you'll never hear a line like this, is my guess.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
There's no fun in this game unless unless Barry's there referring to your sandwich. Anyway, so that's coming. Watch for that. There's that animated Mario movie, which is all sorts of controversy surrounding that thing because of the voice casting. Nobody likes that Chris Pratt was hired to be the voice of Mario. We have no idea what that sounds like, looks like, is intended to seem like. We don't know
Nintendo
the premise.
Nintendo said they're happy with it, though.
They do. I mean, are we cool? I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, it seems odd. Like an odd choice, but maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't think he's going to come out and go, hoo-hoo, let's go and talk like that. I think.
Oh, but Scott, what if he does?
Well, then maybe I'm in. Maybe I'm on board now if he does. I don't know. But like, I don't need someone to come out and do an Italian stereotype. And I don't need somebody to come out and just do the let's go and woohoo and all that. Even though that's about all he ever says.
There's going to be at least one woohoo. Like, there has to be.
There will be, right? You can't make that movie without the reference. So now that movie has become less about me going, oh, I'd love to see what they do with a modern animated Mario movie, which is what they're, you know, it is animated. And I am interested in that because I think animation affords you an opportunity here that live action didn't. And that's the reason that old movie did not succeed that well, even if some people like it. I know people do. I'm not saying it's bad.
Oh, yeah. There are some people who are just on it in the chat room. They're like, oh, yeah, the original Mario Super Mario Brothers movie is so good. Yes.
Yeah. Someone said in there, Bob Hoskins was my Mario. I understand. Like, I get if you're a kid of a certain age and that thing came out, you're going to, and it's cool. I have no qualms with you. But the potential here, I think, is improved by the fact that it's animated and it can get a little bit weird and strange. I just don't know how this characterization stuff goes. And there's not just him. Like, he's the controversial pick only because he's the biggest name in there and he's the titular character. But there's a bunch of other actors hired for this movie that are also weird. It's a weird cast, man. Like, it's just odd. So I don't know. I mean, I hope it's good. And I hope, like Sidian says, they're making children's entertainment. Yes, they are. But you can't avoid the you can't avoid this concept of a lot of these viewers or a lot of people grew up on this stuff. I mean, I played Mario when he was called Jumpman and he was just trying to get Donkey Kong. Like, it's been that
Donkey
long.
Donkey Kong also is in this movie because there's rumors that that's going to be the next Nintendo movie.
Yeah. So for me, I don't know. Like, I want it to be, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be all good kind of all the way through. And also, I would take issue with the idea that they hired Chris Pratt for the kids. The kids don't care. If you're a kid, who? Why do you care about Chris Pratt? You don't know who that is. You may have not even seen Guardians. If this is children's entertainment, then the Chris Pratt pick doesn't make any sense. The Chris Pratt pick makes sense because he is known to other audiences, older audiences. So I don't know if I buy that. But whatever. That movie has to succeed, and it can't succeed on the shoulders of, you know, eight-year-olds. It has to be a well-received movie in general. And right now, if Nintendo's happy with it, I am willing to wait and see how it plays out. All right? I think he's a good Peter Quill. I liked him on Parks and Rec. I like Chris Pratt generally. I just think it's a weird pick. That's all. Nothing mad about. No, I'm not mad about the guy. Hey, you guys. Let's talk a second about Canva Pro. I don't know if you've heard of this thing, but man, has it made my life easier. It's a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. I can't think of a better way of describing it. Click, 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 bam, you're done. Designing with Canva Pro is fast, easy, and fun to use. You can use from thousands of professionally made templates, which are easy to customize with a simple drag and drop features and tools. You can start from scratch if you want to, too. But there's a lot built in there. Canva Pro comes with endless premium fonts, photos, videos, more elements that can give you, you know, the personality and style that you're looking for. You're trying to achieve something cool. Well, here's how you do it. Get all this and more with a Canva Pro subscription. Stay on top of team projects with an easy organizing system that allows you to share, edit, and comment in real time with Canva Pro. And with its content planner, you're going to save time planning, creating, and posting all your social media stuff. All that content, much, much easier. And, you know, you and up to four teammates can unlock Canva Pro for just $12.99 a month. That is incredibly a good value. A well value? Well, it's both those things. Anyway, it's really great. I went and made a couple of logos and some splash pages and some animated stuff in seconds. Why couldn't you? Well, you can. So go check it out. Wow your audience with Canva Pro, the easiest way to create presentations. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/instance. That's canva.me/instance. And get your 45-day extended trial. And I want to talk to you guys today about Arcane. Oh, Arcane. It's a 9-episode, 3-part series that follows the story of two young girls, Vi and Powder, born in the Undercity beneath Piltover. Some of this is really familiar to some of you right now because you're big League fans. Their eagerness to prove themselves will set in motion a series of events that will take their relationship to the breaking point and transform them forever. Witness the animation event of the year to see the champions you already know and love, but like never before. Vi, Jinx, Heimdinger, how about Jace? Their stories will all intertwine in this action-packed series. Whether you're a longtime League player or you're just brand new to the whole thing in general, maybe you're just playing Runeterra right now, Arcane serves as a perfect introduction to the vast world of League of Legends, focusing on the origins of some of its most iconic characters. It's so cool. You already know this because we talked about it in the show. It's amazing. I can't say enough about it. I can't wait for the final episodes, and neither should you. Dive into the stories behind one of the most played games of all time, discover the secrets of Piltover and its Undercity, and prepare for the epic battle that is only just beginning. Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix. Okay, Uncharted. We'll start this difficult discussion by playing this clip from Uncharted. Okay, this is from the trailer. Here you go. Enjoy this.
There are places out there you can't find on any map. They're not gone. They're just lost.
Let's see if this gives me a takedown notice.
Hey, kid. A little young for a bartender, aren't you?
A little old for prom, aren't you?
Everything in here. Why the map?
This is the path that Ferdinand Magellan took to sail around the world.
You know your history.
All right, so Marky Mark and Spider-Man together at last. making your Uncharted movie. Why are we so concerned about this one, do you think? What do you think it is?
I don't have like a big attachment to the Uncharted franchise. I know some people played it from day one and really loved it. I've played them now, but it's not like, wasn't part of my like formative gaming years or anything. But a lot of people have a lot of serious ties to this franchise. And I think at least for me, Nathan Drake looks too young. I love me some Tom Holland, but like my Nathan Drake is older and like grizzled and a little like wrinkles and like, you know, he's seen some shit.
Yeah.
Like Tom Holland looks fresh out of high school and I'm just like, I can't do it.
Yeah. He'll always look that way. He just has a young look to him. And I know they're aiming here to say, well, here's Nathan when he's younger and here's Sully when he's younger, because Sully's much older in the games than Marky Mark is here. And so this is like a more of an origin thing, and it might be fine. My bigger takeaway, my bigger problem with what I'm seeing in that trailer, and again, it's just a trailer. I'm willing to wait it out and see how it goes. I hope I'm wrong, because I have a real affection for that series. My concern is that it looks too shiny, too clean, too. I need some grit in my spelunking, cave-dwelling, go-down-there-find-an-ancient artifact business. And everyone's just wearing too clean of clothes, and it's too...
He gets there near the end of the trailer. It gets a little bit grimier, a little bit dirtier near the end, but I agree. There's a lot of polish and shine on the movie.
Yeah.
Just from the trailer.
This is my same problem I have with the upcoming Wheel of Time adaptation coming to Prime. For all I know, it may be amazing, but the trailers make everybody look like they just got back from wardrobe and everything was perfectly clean. And they feel like extras on the set of like a Stargate SG-1 episode where you find a planet where they haven't quite developed fully yet. So they just look too clean. They gotta get that stuff going. So but the one thing I wanted to make sure we didn't do today is just be those internet people that are like, it looks like shit. Everything's bad. Cause I don't know until we see it. Right. But we have what we have and all we can do is hope. And it didn't instill me with like a lot of confidence is my main.
Yeah. Paper. I have two kind of major things I think in the trailer other than like the aesthetics, but it was just, it looks like there are a whole bunch of pieces that are pulled from all of the games, which I think is too big of an undertaking, trying to take all of those games and put them into one movie. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of different set pieces that come from the different games that I'm just like, oh man, I don't know if you're going to be able to tell a coherent story. Like at least with the Tomb Raider movies, the newer ones, like they followed the game like almost like shot for shot, it felt like. And it was like a game, not all of the games smooshed into 2 hours. So that's my first kind of story concern. And the second one is I really don't like, and Tomb Raider was guilty of this too, but taking video game physics and applying them to the real world. That scene where he's jumping up the cargo things coming out of the airplane, I'm just like, okay, I can suspend some disbelief, but what the heck are you doing here? Yes, you did that in a video game. That doesn't mean it applies to a live action like interpretation. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Right out of this goes to the animation stuff earlier. That works in that environment and you stylize that up. And nobody even blinks an eye at a thing like that. And you're like, yeah, that's also part of that's something Nathan Drake would do. And it seems natural here because, again, animation affords you this thing. You can suspend that disbelief a little more. You do that in live action and yes, you feel the reference, right? You're like, oh, like from the game. But then you go, yeah, but did you need to do that? Could you have done something else? Yeah, like Free Rangers makes a good point. It's like that Legolas and the Hobbit thing where he's jumping up the steps as the cement's. Oh, I hate that so bad. Oh my gosh. I hate it so bad. So bad. But anyway, we'll see.
But even if you look at the Legolas example, at least that's like a fantasy setting in a world where he's an elf and there's magic, right? Our physics are not necessarily applicable. But like you're talking about a series that takes place on Earth with a mortal human main character in an airplane that we can all wrap our heads around and relate to, right? Like, there's no stretching there. That's how physics is supposed to work.
Exactly.
And like, we all understand that.
Yeah.
And then you see him going like, hippity hoppity up the luggage. And you're just like, no.
Yeah, that I forgot about that. That's actually kind of a bummer for me as well. There's other stuff coming. We have a second season of The Witcher coming, which technically that series is based on the books and even more so first season. But you can't deny the popularity of The Witcher has a lot to do with those games. And it even getting green lit for a series has a lot to do with the success of those games, despite its adherence to the books. But also, Henry Cavill's version of Geralt of Rivia is right from the games. He talks like in that guttural voice, does all that stuff. Like, you know, that's a pretty cool show. I'm excited to see what they do with season two. There's some others. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 coming out soon. We got a new Tomb Raider on its way with what's her name? Alicia Vikander. Is that how you say her name? Not Alicia.
Sure.
Erica. Whatever it is. She's great. She was in that space movie that now I can't remember. Anyway, I'm not going to do any names.
Nailing it with the names today.
Really killing it with these names. Ex Machina. What was her name? I can't think of her name. Anyway, she's great. So that's coming up. Now, in the works is interesting. We got this, according to every source I could find, these are all in some kind of production. Minecraft, although currently delayed or kind of on halt, and nobody knows why, and it's been a bit, so who knows what happens with that. But they were making a, I think, live-action Minecraft movie. That might be a bad idea. Just going to put it out there. I mean, maybe. Maybe you can pull it off. It sounds real dumb to me. Last of Us at HBO, that's happening. That's a live-action series. I think that's going to be pretty cool. Looking forward to that. Call of Duty, as we mentioned, Halo's getting, you know, Halo's been on permanent. We're working on it mode for years and years now, but apparently something really is going to happen there. Borderlands, The Division, Duke Nukem, could be interesting. Five Nights at Freddy's, Gears of War, Just Cause, and Metal Gear Solid. All these projects are in some sort of production right now. My guess is a few of these won't make it, because that's just the way Hollywood works. Stuff just gets cut all the time. I mean, Uncharted, for example, has been, you know, bounced around for how long? 10 years, 12 years? Different directors, different writers, different actors. Then they changed it, canceled it, started over. Like, I'm surprised it ever got made, to be honest. But that's that sort of stuff. But I thought, okay, so we had all that coming. I thought it'd be more fun, though, to talk about what we want to see. Okay, what games are not getting film/TV treatment that should? I would like to start with my favorite pick of all, which would be Fallout. Now, regardless how you feel about the Fallout games, if you set a live action, and this could be great as live action, live action Fallout, New Vegas in particular, if that was your setting, hot damn almighty, would I tune into that, watch that, pay for that, whatever I got to do to get it. I think that would be great. How do you feel about the Fallout series these days? Are you into it?
I'm not so into it. I poked around in it, but Fallout was never really my thing. I know a lot of people super loved it. Like, oh man, Kimmy from Ladies of Leet, back when they were still making Ladies of Leet,
Man,
she was so into it and just loved it. And I was like, I want to love it because Kim loves it so much. There's got to be something here, but I could never really get into it.
Yeah, Nicole's still a big fan. I think she still plays the 76 thing. She really got into her groove.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple of friends that are into the 76 thing, even though the launch of that was so terrible. But apparently it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, they've cleaned up their act. I mean, it's still like, hey, do you want to play a game that's basically survival mode, multiplayer, Fallout, not a full campaign kind of game? If that's still abhorrent to you, then you're probably not going to want to play it, but it's a much better game these days, I think. But Fallout is a universe I just think is rich with some cool ideas, and I don't know, I'm a sucker for post-apocalyptic anything, so you could pretty much make that and I'd be happy. I put Elder Scrolls on here. I think there's some stuff to mine there. God of War would be interesting.
There.
Oh, they totally would be. God of War could be really interesting, and that could be a case where you don't have to suspend disbelief so much because it's a fantasy. Like that, you can get away with a ton in a God of War movie in terms of these physics problems you're mentioning. Like Uncharted is meant to be grounded. You know, here's a dude doing stuff and he might be really good at it, but he shouldn't be able to do that with all that cargo coming out of the back of the plane. But in God of War, you're like, yeah, he's got a giant axe and he can throw that thing really far and it'll come back to him because it's magic and we're okay with that. We can suspend that disbelief. I think God of War has real potential. I don't know who I want to be Kratos, though. It's got to be a grizzled, big-ass mother effer. Who would it be? Let's cast him. Let's cast
Kratos. Oh, man, I'm terrible at casting. I can never remember names of anyone of anything.
I mean, it's so easy for people to go.
What about the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, Batista. He could maybe do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet he could do pretty. That. Yeah, put a beard on him. He's already bald. You know what? That's not bad. And he's getting better as an actor. I really liked him in some recent stuff. Actor-wise, he's great. But it's funny, everybody wants to do wrestlers every time. And I don't blame you. They're big dudes. You know, they're big dudes. When I saw Batista, really sold me in Blade Runner during that first scene. He's not there very long, but he's really good in that role. And I just thought, well, is it all going to be like Drax from here on out for your whole career there, dude? And I don't think so. I think he's great. Gerard Butler couldn't do it. You'd have to bulk him up again, and I think he's done with that. let's see what else we got. Okay, this is what I want. I want an Among Us series.
This is my favorite idea on this whole games we'd like to see list. Like, at first I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Hang on. This could be ridiculously good.
So this is what I want. I want Among Us, but not cutesy, not animated, not looking the way it is now. I want them to go hardcore into making Among Us, but a super serious space horror game where somebody's killing people. You don't know who it is, but you build your whole space movie around it and you call it Among Us and go hard into that. Like, don't dink around with like, well, it needs to still sort of be like, no, I'm saying this is a case where I'm saying go hard in the stupidest direction you can think of. Because otherwise,
go
this is
rated
dumb.
R, go like crazy tentacle murder to the face, like do all that stuff.
Do it all and have multiple endings. Have, you know, like some people are seeing a different murderer than other people. Have people getting airlocked who didn't do it and have it be really hard, like horrible airlock moments of getting shot out into space. And just make it dramatic.
Well, yeah, you
shit.
Have to have the deliberation meetings for sure.
Yeah. They'll all meet in the galley, kind of, you know, alien style, like they always do in an Aliens movie or whatever. They always have a place where they're all eating. They all got to gather in there and decide who's got to go. Oh, man. You could do it on Netflix, do a series and do it like that choose your own adventure thing they did with Black Mirror. Whatever that was called.
Bandersnatch.
Do something like that. Let the home viewers dink around. That's not going to happen.
Or do a TV series where every episode a different one of them is the killer.
Exactly. Until no one's left, and have him have to do menial shitty tasks, you know, like, oh, I got to clean the leaves out of this vent for some reason, you know, like all that. I would love
and
it.
And have like the camera looking at them and like seeing the other guy coming up to them. And you're like, why can't they see all the tasks? They're taking up their whole screen.
Yeah. Sign me up for this bad idea. I think it's a good one.
No, I think it's great.
Cameron mentioned Dead Space. That would be an excellent film as well. Just straight up space horror. I love that stuff. Zelda, you wrote in here, Zelda. And I think that's a good pick, especially for an animated stylized take. Do it in the vein of Breath of the Wild or something. Maybe don't have his weapons break every 5 seconds. That'd be cool. But you know what I mean? Like you could really go places with a Zelda series, I think.
Well, I think the thing is that when it comes to, I think that this might be why the Mario movie might actually be pretty good, is because if you have games like Mario and like Zelda, they don't inherently have a super complicated story. Mm-hmm. They're fairly straightforward, which means that there's a lot of room to expand in a movie. Whereas like if you've got some of the other things that we've been talking about, like the Elder Scrolls of the world, there's so much lore already there that anything they try to do to compress it into a 2-hour movie isn't going to work well. And that's, I think, where TV shows make a lot more sense. But like, I don't know if a Mario or a Zelda or a Donkey Kong TV show would be any good, because it's like then you're trying to stretch it out too much. I think those kind of more simplistic story games make good movies because, you know, you can kind of play around with the idea versus stuff that already has a lot of story and a lot of lore. Like that stuff you probably need to make into a TV show to have just more time to tell the story.
Yeah, because that's a really good point, because you already run the risk of having a gigantic, let's say you're going to do Elder Scrolls. You not only have the 300 years prior ESO lore, which is now thick and rich and super vast, and then you got all the stuff from just Skyrim alone would fill, you know, multiple films. So what you're forced to do if you're doing a movie is say, well, we're only going to choose these three, four aspects, and there's our movie. And that will never satisfy fans, ever.
Exactly.
There's too much. So you got to go full Game of Thrones, but don't screw up the ending. but you got to go big and long and, you know, just far reaching and really, really glom onto all the aspects everybody wants you to do. That's why I'm also worried about the Wheel of Time series. That thing is an epic in the books, just an epic of all proportions. It's like makes Lord of the Rings look small. It's huge. And I hope they can nail it because there's a lot to cover there. And they seem like they might. I don't know. I'm actually really excited about that series, but I wish everyone looked a little dirtier. That's all I'm saying. Don't look like cosplayers at the local Comic-Con. Like, those look like costumes off Amazon. I don't know why. They just do. Anyway, I like Horizon as an idea. You put that in here as well. That has all kinds of possibilities. Be amazing. Horizon's amazing. A good Warcraft adaptation. Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of already talked about that in our ideas. I think they picked a poor, even though it was kind of like the origin story of like how we ended up with Orcs on Azeroth. Man, if they had made that an Arthas movie, I think it would have had a different outcome.
Yeah. And one thing I should mention, somebody out there is going to hear this and go, you guys forgot these five or six other things. I know. Like, we didn't mention Detective Pikachu. We haven't talked about, you know, other movies that are based on video games. What was the Prince of Persia one, which I thought was all right at the time. The Jake Gyllenhaal thing. It was fine. It wasn't great. It was okay, though. I know we're not mentioning all of them. We can't in its entirety, but there are some movies out there that are about video games that are all right. People like Wreck-It Ralph. They like the new Jumanji thing, which is very video game based.
I loved the new Jumanji much.
It's really good. It's like legit.
And I'm not normally a Jack Black fan, but he made that movie for me.
Yeah, he's good in it. Free Guy, I know a lot of people really like that. I still haven't seen it, but that came out this year.
Scott, you have to go see it.
Did you like it?
I really did like it quite a lot.
I do want to see it. Patrick is all boohooing it on Twitter, but he's French, so I can't, you know, it doesn't count. The French have weird tastes. Pixels, that was bad, but I liked what they were going for there. I like big Pac-Man attacking New York was cool, but that movie is real bad. Do not see that. So I thought it'd be fun to see the top, what the world thinks the best ones are and what the world thinks the worst ones are. So I ran to Rotten Tomatoes to see what the, you know, combined meta scores were for best to worst. And it's not opening up. Why? Okay, here we go. I got it. They claim the very worst film in their list of 45 films based on video games is Alone in the Dark from 2005. It has a 1% tomato rating. This was Christian Slater, Tara Reid, Stephen Dorff, Frank C. Turner, a Uwe Boll joint. He never made good movies. Anyway, Alone in the Dark, bad movie. So I'll give you the bottom three. House of the Dead from 03 is at 3%, and Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li from 2009 is at 3% also. Annihilation right next to it. Let me skip to the top three, see if you agree with these. The Angry Birds Movie 2 from 2019, 73%. It's pretty good. It's respectable. It's not bad. Never saw it.
No, I have not seen the Angry Birds movies either. I remember seeing they were making them, and I was like, really?
Yeah, seems like it was a very odd pick.
It seemed like a money grab, but I mean, if 73% of critics liked it, maybe I'm missing out.
Yeah, you never know. Pokemon Detective Pikachu from 2019, also rated pretty well at 68%. Sonic the Hedgehog from 2020, ranked in at 63%. I mean, these are all
not a fan of Sonic.
I thought it was all right. For what it could have been, it was better. It was a lot better than I expected it to be. But it's not, you know, great or anything. But I think what all of these scores trending upward more lately is a good sign. It means that it may be small steps, but we're improving, right? We're improving over some of this garbage. But those are your top three, according to this. This doesn't include TV, of course, so we can't really include those. But I'm sure if we did, we'd have a little bit more competition.
Yeah, it'd be a different list.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess the bottom line takeaway here is, what do you as listeners think the best adaptation should be? And are we turning a corner a little bit like comic books did? Because for me, it's an easy comparison. Comic books for a long time were just not respected. And it was a kid's thing. And then even when it became a teenager and then adult thing, nobody really wanted to really figure it out, to figure out a way to make great comic book movies. And there were attempts and there were moments. And you could look back at the 89 Spider-Man or Batman and go, okay, there Tim Burton changed things. That's now we're moving in the right direction. But it's got a lot of problems. And so did a lot of other stuff at the time. And it really isn't until the Nolan movies and then soon after the MCU where you started to see this stuff get not only taken seriously, but being able to literally do what no one thought was possible. And that is make Groot cool or, you know, Thor worth watching or, you know, any of that stuff seemed insane before, but they changed that. And it, and part of that is just people growing up and then now they're in charge and they're making the movies. I think video games are heading in that direction where the next generation of directors grew up on Nintendo, grew up on Sega, grew up on their Sony PlayStation. They understand games because they played them and they followed them. And then they're going to be handed these licenses and they're going to make those films. And then suddenly we're like, oh, okay, it is possible to turn this stuff into gold. I just don't think we're quite there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. All right. Well, that'll do it for today's topic. I did want to talk real quick about the games we're playing this week. Just a quick mention of Forza Horizon 5, a very different Horizon. no Zero Dawn here, 5 Dawn, I guess. Anyway, very, very good game. Came out on Game Pass. It's also purchasable, of course. It's on Xbox Series S and X, as well as, I guess, the Xbox, let's see, Xbox One Pro, or whatever it's called. What'd they call that? Xbox One X. That's yes. The worst naming conventions. It runs there as well, but of course on PC as well. And it looks great. And if you like driving games, Garrett's going to probably lose his mind over this one because he loves these games.
He has a whole like video game driving rig. So yeah, I'm sure this is on his radar.
Yeah, he's absolutely nuts about it. These are my kind of games. They're not too serious. They're not too goofy. They're right in the middle. And that's my kind of racing game. And it's really, really fun. I did a full review basically yesterday on Core, so check that out if you want to hear that. I'm also doing the Skyrim expansion business in ESO this week. What was that called? Breadmore? Something more? Westmore?
I can't remember.
It's not Breadmore, I'm sure of that. It's definitely not Breadmore. You don't think it's Breadmore? What the hell was that called? Gosh dang it, my brain today will not remember shit. Graymore. That's it. I'm doing the Graymore line as a break. Because like you, I thought I did the Blackwood stuff, but then they dropped another big story bomb. So I'm going to go back to that, but I'm so in the thick of this Graymore stuff. I can't stop. I got to like see it to the end. So I'm going to do that and then I'm going to hop over there. That's where I've been spending my time. I know you've been ripping through that Dark Pictures thing. Speaking of scary video games, how's House of Ashes?
So House of Ashes, I think, is my least favorite of the three. We actually did kind of a deep dive spoiler talk about it on Gamers In this week, but it didn't scare me at all, really? Which is very odd for that franchise. And so these games, if you aren't familiar with the Dark Pictures anthology, have this like co-op thing, way to play. So you can play with another person online. And so you see a different story. And so my co-host Ryan was saying he didn't like the second installation because there weren't very many scary parts. And in this one, it felt like I was always hearing him say, oh my God, I'm being chased by monsters. And I'm like, I'm walking around talking. Like, so it seems like there's a little bit of like an imbalance with like who gets what scary bits. And if you kind of pick the wrong character, then you just don't get to see the scary side of the game. So the character I played through or the side I played through in House of Ashes, I didn't find it scary at all. And they also had the monster in the trailer. So there was no kind of like anticipation or lead up. It was kind of like right from the get go. Here's the monsters. Let's go. And so it wasn't as scary for me. Plus, you were a military person. So like you were carrying around weapons and things and you could fight back, which is something you couldn't do in the previous two games. There was no fighting back. It was like you were just screwed. Yeah. So there was like an element of like helplessness that this one didn't have. So it's my least favorite of the three. But the next one looks super cool because like I mentioned in the pre-show about loving true crime, the next one is actually based on America's first serial killer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it'll be the final one in the series. How many games in the series right now?
there's three right now. The fourth one comes out next year, and then they're taking a break, and then they're going to do another four. So they have eight planned in total.
Wow. That's but such a weird story, the game, this game, these games. This is an odd thing. I didn't, I mean, first of all, you're the one that told me about it. I never even heard of it. And secondly, just this ambition of we have eight planned and they're all this and they know what they're going to do. And then building up kind of this, like, I don't know, kind of underground audience for a thing that isn't all that mainstream. I don't know. It's just weird. I love it.
Yeah, it's like they made Until Dawn, which is not technically part of the Dark Pictures anthology. But yeah, they made Until Dawn and then they went, huh, that was really good and really fun. Let's just do a bunch of these.
Yeah, let's just keep making them. And Until Dawn was the one that was like a PS4 thing. It was like a slasher deal, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was, I enjoyed Until Dawn quite a lot, actually. And it had a lot of different twists and turns, and it didn't have the play with a friend co-op thing, but it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a really cool story.
I had that Hayden Planetarium or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
What's her name? I should stop now. I don't know any names today. Nobody's names. I don't know any of them. Hayden Planetarium. I don't even think that's right.
That sounds right.
Oh, my Lord. Like you, I'm looking forward to Horizon Zero Dawn, Forbidden West. You're playing the original right now, or what's going on?
Yeah, so I was playing it on PC, actually, and it kind of just made me want to get a PlayStation 5 and play, like, the updated version of Horizon Zero Dawn, because I played it through, like, when it came out, and then I've kind of gone back to it every once in a while, but I haven't done a full second playthrough yet. And man, it's such a good game. It's like, I forgot how much I loved living in that universe. Like, I'm pretty sure it's up there, if not my favorite game ever.
Yeah, it's great. It's such a good game.
It's so good. But it's so hard to find a PlayStation 5. I don't have a PlayStation 5. And at first I was like, oh, it's no big deal. But now I'm like, we're months away from this release and I might not have the system to play it on. Well, so
the good news
I'm a little
is,
bit worried.
The good news is nobody can get Series S and X's right now. Nobody can get PS5s and nobody can get the new OLED Switches. So,
yep.
Hey.
Or graphics cards.
Or graphics cards.
Even PC games. Is out.
Yeah, welcome to chip shortage apocalypse 2021, everybody. You're not getting what you thought, and they delayed that Steam Deck till February, where everything else is, and including Forbidden West, by the way, comes out February. Everything's in February.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. It's not going to happen. Half the stuff's getting canceled or pushed. There's no way. They've top loaded February like a nightmare. It's not happening. But we'll see. All right. Well, that's what we've been up to. A reminder that you folks are going to be the backbone of how this show continues to survive and thrive by supporting us at patreon.com/instance. Head on over now and become a patron today. That's patreon.com/instance. Before we go, real quick here, anything going on in your world, Josh, you want to mention?
Just the Extra Life stuff again. I promise I'll start to mention it a little bit less, but we had an awesome game day. If you guys are just jumping into the show now, we had an awesome game day last Saturday. If you would like to support the cause, you can go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021. We still have some team members that haven't hit their goals yet. So if you do want to donate to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, you can do so till the end of the year. So thanks everyone for all the support. It's been really, really great.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm glad you guys did so well with it, and let's keep that ball rolling. For everything else you want to check out, maybe, I don't know, you might want to be getting the two other parts, the other part of the trinity of gaming shows here on the Frog Pants Network, which you can find at frogpantsplays.com. That's Core, where we do big industry stuff on a bit of a panel format. And if you want to hear about indie games, that's what the Boop Show is for, which happens on Mondays. It's all there at frogpantsplays.com. So get all three, collect them all, catch them all. Something like that. Hey, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening, for watching, for being a part of this show. Garrett will be back next week with me and Jocelyn. Until then, everyone, have a fantastic one, and we'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.